Don't wait. Save smarter with a 5.10% annual percentage yield 13-month certificate from Royal Credit Union. Royal's 5.10% 13-month certificate has no minimum opening balance and a locked-in rate for a guaranteed return on your investment. Open a 5.10% 13-month certificate at any Royal office or online at rcu.org/certificate510. Early withdrawal penalties could reduce earnings and principal. APY accurate as of 3/1/24. Insured by NCUA.
It's the final countdown.
The Minnesota Wild's playoff chances continue to dwindle, though they're still not officially out of the playoff race. What does that mean for the final regular season? And hey, at least we'll have Frozen Four hockey in St. Paul. With no Minnesota teams either, okay, never mind. That and your Cues with the Buttes, as always, were created by New Voice Studios, brought to you by Soda Stick, presented by Talk North, Grain Belt, Jim Beam, Livia, and Royal Credit Union. This is Season 5, Episode 222. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive Soda Stick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between Soda Stick and the Hockey Lodge.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting, "Let's play hockey," prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with a bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Fairmont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up, Bar Down Beauties, episode 222. I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Kirsten Kroll, in-house arena host for your Minnesota Wild, amongst many other things. Kirsten, how are we doing today? Happy Monday. We're recording this, as always, on a Monday, ahead of your Tuesday release, post-Easter, April Fool's Day as well. I should have come in hot with a joke. Now I'm regretting my intro.
Yeah, there's always time to redeem yourself. I personally hate April Fool's Day. It's raining. It's the Mondayest Monday ever. So I'm just here, quite honestly.
You know what? Minnesota Wild season is a joke. Does that mean that?
That was a lot.
That's all I came up with. Like, I don't know. I don't have any. I used to when I was younger. I every year would wrap around a rubber binder around the spray nozzle on your sink. You know, back when you had like an actual thing that you had to hold. So every time my mom would turn on the sink, it would spray her every year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, and that would be my nightmare as a child. Yeah. Like, I hate April Fool's Day. So if anyone did anything to me, it might send me over the edge.
I did the saran wrap on the toilet so there'd get pee everywhere. I gave my teacher a dime and a pin and told her it was a diamond pin. That was a good one. And what was the other one I did? I feel like there was one more that I'm like pretty consistent. Oh, there. I read this and now looking back, probably shouldn't have done it. We put toothpaste in Oreos and pretended they were Oreo cookies. Because it was a prank that someone suggested. Remember back in like the 90s and 2000s, we were kind of carefree and wild and had no rules. It was a little unhinged.
I didn't do any of the above.
I also told somebody that dill pickle chips were actually sour cream chips and they weren't.
So. That's mean. As somebody who hates pickles, I would be so upset.
Well, you know, you live, you learn, you have a little fun. I don't know. The spray nozzle thing, I'd still do it to this day if they still had sinks that had that because it was just so good every year. Every year. Ah, Jessica!
My mom has a sink like that.
Yeah, do it. I'm telling you, it's just.
I'm not. My mom, you don't know my mom. She'd get really upset.
Oh, yeah. My mom was never happy with it. Don't get me wrong. She's not someone that I wasn't tending to prank her. It was literally whoever would be down in the sink, whether it was my dad or my brother, whoever got there first. And then she'd forget to take it off. So then in the afternoon, I'd come back and get her again. Oh, the good old days. Let's talk a little bit hockey. Yes, I aggressively said the Minnesota Wild are a joke, which is not far from the truth, Kirsten, at this point. They did it again. They went in. They pulled their goalie. Don't disagree with the decision because here you are. You're losing the element of surprise, I think, a little bit. Like, I spoke with Vegas Golden Knights team after the game, and they had said Bruce Cassidy brought it up to him in overtime, like, hey, watch out, they might try to do this again. I did ask John Hines if he thought about doing it in regulation, which he said he would. Now, should they just do that in regulation from here on out, Kirsten? Get the two? I mean, if you're tied, why even bother with overtime if you're going to be losing your point anyway?
I definitely agree. You lose the element of surprise in overtime at this point because the league knows the Wild are in a desperate position right now. So 1 point, if you lose in overtime, it's not going to help you out at all. So you need to try to get a win any way you can. Regulation, I'm definitely not opposed to. I think that would maybe be a little bit more of a surprising element. But at this point, too, it's just so far out of reach.
I know. Minnesota, though, still with, according to Money Puck as of today, 4.1% chance to make the playoffs. So
how did their percentage go up when last week it was at like 2% before the Vegas game?
See, I thought 5%, and that's what I'm looking. This is odds as of Monday, April 1st, 2:55 a.m. Eastern. I think it's because St. Louis has faltered. So St. Louis is now down to 2.2%. Minnesota no longer chasing the Vegas Golden Knights. They are now chasing the L.A. Kings. They sit with 79 points while L.A.'s got 87. So ipso facto, do the math. It's a little bit out of reach.
Yeah.
8 points.
I don't know. I read 2% last week. It's tough. I think I was a little disappointed with the Vegas game because I think once Jack Eichel did the spear, game misconduct, ejected from the rest, that was a huge opportunity for them. Like, you lose one of their star players, it gives you a leg up on Vegas. You had the lead in the third period, and then you allow them to creep in to force overtime. I think that was just very defeating.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate the way Minnesota played, and I certainly love that they capitalized. Right. Like, I, you know, looking back, I think I said that in the breakdown, too. I'm like, I didn't hate it. I mean, in general, since All-Star, most of their games, and I'm not going to say all of them, because obviously we all know those ones that they dropped an absolute goose egg on. Most of their games have been fairly competitive, and, you know, Vegas got Alex Pietrangelo back on defense, and Logan Thompson played really well. But that's my other thing. I feel like that Minnesota offense lately has made goalies look better than they actually are. Now, that's not to slight Logan Thompson, who I did make some pretty good saves, but Minnesota just shoots it right into them. There's no lift to the puck, and you saw this the night before, too, and I don't know. The offense not only does it not have secondary scoring, because as we've seen, it's the Kirill Kaprizov line that's doing a little bit of everything. I thought Marcus Johansson and Freddie Gaudreau started out the game well against Vegas. But are you more concerned at the way that they're shooting, Kirsten? Like, I mean, what's, I guess, I don't know if concern is even the right word anymore, because as we mentioned, playoffs are kind of out of reach, so nothing should be of concern. But what do you want to see more of? Do you want to see better shot output? Do you want to see more secondary scoring? What's kind of your big thing to close out the last couple games here of the regular season?
I mean, both of those things would be huge. Also, one play from the Vegas game that really I remembered, it was, I think, later in the third period. Jonas Brodin had a one-timer on net, set it up for a really good opportunity to score, and no one could bury that. So I would like to see more one-timers on the net followed by a rebound for that scoring is one thing I would love to see.
You know it. I would just love to see a line other than the top line score. I agree.
I mean,
like,
also
I just think
nice.
It'd be nice, or be able to bury it on a breakaway, Matt Zuccarello. Like, there's certain things where, again, it's just the puck placement. Like, there's almost like an overexcitement, or you're trying to still do too much. Just get down there, put the shot on net, and go. Minnesota has not missed the playoffs since 2018-19. Kirsten, what are some things that you recall between then and now? Obviously, the pandemic was a whole deal in between then and now since the Wild last missed the playoffs, but what are some other notable things since the last time Minnesota missed out of the playoffs?
Wait, we said since 2019?
18-19.
I graduated college.
Oh.
I got a dog.
Nice.
I moved out of my mom's house into my own place in the cities.
I had two whole damn kids.
Yeah, you did. Still been single. That's still been a thing. So that's something that hasn't changed. That's been a constant. I got a new car.
Yeah, life, man.
I made some new friends. Had a few new jobs since then. I don't know. There's been a lot of life lived.
Yeah, a lot of life. Again, Minnesota still
mathematic. I got locked in a staircase last time.
Should we recap this moment? Let's go back. So
I don't know. It's kind of traumatizing still.
In case you guys follow us on Twitter, you might have seen something come across where I rescued Kirsten from a big evil stairwell. This was on Friday during Friday practice morning. For the Wild and Vegas Golden Knights. Kirsten, please recount from your perspective what exactly happened last week.
So first, I had to get to morning skate because we had an interview with Jack Eichel set up. Because former Hobie Baker winner, we had an interview set up with him. And so I'm already running late. I was supposed to be there at noon, but then I was asked to be there at 11:45. So it's like 11:45 on the dot. I always take the stairs. I never take the elevator. I don't know what it is. I think it's just routine, habit, because it's by the little promo deck where we have our stage for games. I always go down the same staircase. So it's unlocked from the outside. I go in, not thinking anything of it, go all the way down to arena level, try opening the door, and it's locked. And at that point, I'm like, I'm annoyed. No one's here. Why does it matter? So I was like, whatever. Walk all the way back up to where I came in. Door locked. I was stuck in the stairwell. It was getting really hot in there. I was getting scared. I went back down to arena level. I started pounding on the door. No one was coming for me. I'm texting Jesse, and I'm just like, are they even going to know which stairwell I'm in? I'm texting the guy who helped set up the interview, and I'm like, I'm locked in a stairwell. And he's like, well, don't move. I'm coming. But then you came, and Jesse saved me. So shout out. Thank you for answering my cry for help. Then should I tell Jack Eichel about this experience? You know, try to break the ice a little bit before just bombarding him with questions. And so I told him, I was like, well, for what it's worth, I got locked in a staircase on the way here, almost missing our interview. And he scratches his head and he's like, oh, how does that happen? Like in a very like monotone voice.
And similar to Brock Faber's reaction to Taylor Swift, almost just with less facial expression, like, oh, okay.
I don't know who the problem is here anymore. There's just one common denominator, though.
I was just glad to rescue. I would have been there sooner, except I'm like literally in the middle of Hines speaking about whatever he was speaking about at the time. And I'm like, asked one of the other PR people, like, can you go let her out? Well, no, I got to open the room. I'm like, well, she'll have to wait it out just a couple more minutes.
I had no idea what was going on. Survived. I just stressed.
You made it.
Yeah, I'm alive to tell the story.
And you have a good Jack Eichel interview. It was a good interview. My favorite part of the interview was obviously when I got to boo him for BU advancing. But we'll talk about Frozen Four in a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did that work out for you?
It didn't work out. It didn't work out at all. But no. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Back to the Minnesota Wild. Again, still mathematically not eliminated, but it's looking grim. Kirsten, if you could describe, this is your T-Swift moment, since it's been a while since we've checked in with our entertainment reporter correspondent.
Yes. Entertainment correspondent is the title I have given myself. I always need to see it on my badge now.
Fair. I think that can be arranged. If you were to give the Minnesota Wild an era to sum up this season, and even looking ahead, right? Because we know it's not exactly going to be amazing for the next couple years. We're projecting, you know, 4-5 years down the road, maybe three. I'll say 3 years down the road where they're going to have like probably a legit contending team. What era is the Minnesota Wild in?
So, and hear me out. I think I'm going with this album because of one certain track in particular, but also it's just kind of like moody, can be sad boy, but can be happy. And I think that's been the Wild season in a nutshell. It's been very up and down. We've seen like super happy moments. And then we've seen games where we lose 6-0 to LA where it's like sad boy. We've seen a lot of injuries. So all unfortunate things, but there have been some high notes as well. So I think this album encapsulates that. And it is Folklore. There's also one specific song on Folklore that I think really resonates to where we're at. It's called This Is Me Trying. And it's about somebody who's just kind of down really bad, but they keep trying. And aww. I think that's where the Wild are at right now.
Knowing minimally, sure, I think that sounds right. I particularly love the song adjacent to it. I think that that sounds perfect. I hope maybe we can talk to DJ, one of the DJs, and they can play that.
It's kind of really a downer, so that's probably not going to fly with literally anybody in the okay. arena.
Well, you know, you learn something every day. Yeah, yeah, we're going to go with that. I have no counter, no additional to that. I was trying to think of, you'd be proud. I did watch a little bit of the Eras Tour on Disney because I was just trying to find something that isn't a movie on Disney Plus that we've seen a million bajillion times in this household. So I was moving on and, I didn't hate it. It reminded me how impressive her, performances are.
She's great. Unlike
the Minnesota Wild. Speaking of impressive performances, Philip Gustafson has shown back up, the Philip Gustafson, as Joe O'Donnell, our guest last week, said. There's the Ottawa Gus, and there's the Minnesota Gus, and he played a little bit more like the Minnesota Gus as of late. However, as we have been speculating and predicting, Marc-Andre Fleury did announce to NHL.com that it's probably either retirement or Minnesota. So a lot of that depends on what Bill Guerin wants to do. Marc-Andre Fleury obviously heading in to the offseason, a free agent. If Billy G proposes a nice little contract, I'm sure Marc-Andre Fleury takes it. So again, Kirsten, the goaltending tandem has a big old question mark, but we asked this in our Up for Debate this week too. Would you rather see Flower and Jesper next year? Would you rather see Gus and Jesper next year? Or do you come back to Gus and Flower and let Jesper develop one more year in the AHL? Which of those three tandem situations do you like most?
This is a really tough question, and I've thought about it. Obviously, if Fleury wants to come back, you let him come back. And I, for one, just from a business standpoint, I'm using that. The money he brings in from the fans who come to see him play, that is one standpoint. Just that's from the business standpoint. Also, just the respect to his name, the love Bill Guerin has for him, that team has for him, the execs, the state of Minnesota, you want him back if he wants to come back. And I think also Bill Guerin had kind of seemed that's the way they were letting things go with Fleury near the trade deadline. They're like, if he wants to go, he can make the call. If he wants to stay, he'll stay. So I kind of think that's how we're heading into next season. If I'm just going based on things that I have heard, if Flower wants to come back, he's coming back. Now, this is the one I am very on the fence about. With Gus, I would say maybe, I'm kind of leaning towards this way too. I would say trade him while we've seen kind of what we've got from him right now. So he's had some really low moments this season, but he still had, like you mentioned, those glimmers of how he played specifically last year in Minnesota. So while his trade value could still like have value to it, just in case he does retract next season back to more of the way he played in Ottawa, I would say trade him while you can get good value for him. And then let Jesper come up, learn behind Fleury, because we've talked about it. Jesper's going to be the future in Minnesota. Now, next year, realistically, with the cap hit, I'm not expecting much from this team. Again, next year, as far as playoffs, making a run. So what would it hurt bringing him up and giving him the experience? It's kind of my take, and that's kind of the way I'm leaning towards it right now. But now looking ahead to 2 years from now, when you need to get another goaltender, once Fleury does retire, who do you have then? I don't know. That is more of a concern for me in the future as opposed to the short term.
Well, and I wonder if you do look at moving him, if you get a goalie back or if you find a goalie on the free agent market. I think either way, I agree with you pretty much to a T as far as I go Marc-Andre Fleury and Jesper Velsted. I just think, you know, as off as Marc-Andre can be, and certainly he's had his down moments this year as well, you're right. I mean, selfishly, I want him back for the room atmosphere, just the vibes in general, as we always say. You noted the business point there. The writer from NHL.com actually writes for the French website in Quebec, and he had mentioned, he's like, the number of Fleury jerseys here, I've never seen anything like it. And he's only been here like 2 years, right, you guys? Like, that's what's kind of insane. So I think he's just so beloved. I think he'd be great. I think he'd be a great mentor. And the numbers don't lie. I mean, currently this year, 0.899% save percentage, 2.85 goals against, 2 shutouts, 16 wins in 36 starts, which ain't too shabby, especially when you compare it to Gus, who's had 42 starts, only 19 wins, 3 shutouts, 3.04 goals against, and 0.9 save percentage. In general, I just, I look at it, I think you have to address Gus and figure out what's there. I mean, you want somebody that's more reliable than he's been. And at least Marc-Andre Fleury is fairly reliable. Even if you're not going to get, you know, some exceptional nights every single night, at least you're going to be somewhere in between. Whereas Gus, the peaks and valleys, I think, are too much for me. So I would agree. I'd go Fleury and Jesper next year and find a goalie on the market. So maybe that means Jesper doesn't start up here. You know, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't have any fears at all about leaving Jesper in Iowa for a little bit longer. You know, I don't want to, you're not going to stipend his growth. You're not going to limit him when he comes to the NHL, because once you get up here, you're ready. You're good to go. And sometimes there's a logjam, and there's not going to be a logjam, but you're right. You need somebody that's not, is Zane McIntyre still even down there? Like, I don't even know the other goalies that are in the system at this point.
I'm assuming he's still down there. Yeah. I think he is.
Like, you need,
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I haven't paid much attention to Iowa because most of Iowa has been in Minnesota this year.
Most of Iowa has been here. This is true. Well, and maybe you become a team where you carry 3 goalies. I don't know. Maybe that's a situation you consider. Sounds crazy. I don't love it.
That does sound crazy. It sounds like something we can't afford also.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love it, but that's what I would do. I think most of the fans who answered in our poll last week agreed with that. So shout out to all y'all. Speaking of fans, we'll have some cues with the Buttes coming up in our next segment, which will also address Murat Huznadinov, which I'm very excited to discuss as well. Before we take a break after this segment, Kirsten, Frozen Four. I didn't want to talk about it. I don't really want to talk about it because I pinned all my hopes and dreams for sports on the Gopher Hockey Squad, who started out very well from what I saw against BU. Obviously, Minnesota, this wasn't their year. You looked at the roster, kind of the performances this year. It wasn't the same team as last year. Last year's team was it, right? That was the team that was going to win. Gophers out. So now, first time since 2016, there will not be a Minnesota representative in the Frozen Four, which is extra sour because it's happening in St. Paul. But Kirsten, any surprises from the Frozen Four teams, which is BC, DU, Michigan, and BU?
Well, first off, even taking into consideration since 2016, how many Minnesota teams have made it to the national championship game? Minnesota, St. Cloud State, Minnesota State. Like, that's at least 3 years since 2016 that we've been in the national championship game. So there's that takeaway. Piggybacking off Minnesota, not the same Gopher team, but I think what would have, and this is not anything surprising to anybody, if Logan Cooley and Matthew Nyes would have returned for another year, that would have changed everything. I really think then they would have been back in the same spot, national championship game. If those two were back, I think that changed a lot for this Gopher squad. Now, looking at the stage that is currently set, DU, them being in the Frozen Four, does not surprise me at all. Give David Carl his flowers, watching him bring another Denver team back to the Frozen Four, let alone giving them another chance to compete for a national championship, which they did just a couple of years ago, and also seeing what he did with the World Juniors team. Like, give this man his credit. If you are looking to bring up a collegiate coach for an NHL coaching job, David Carl should be one of the very first phone calls you make. He has been incredible. And also the NCHC, too, has had a really good track record of transitioning coaches from the collegiate level to the NHL level. So David Carl, keep his name close in mind, especially if Denver wins another championship under him this year. But also Boston University, not really surprised that they made it back as well. You see Macklin Celebrini on the team, who's supposedly going to be the top pick overall this year's draft, just doing unreal things. Then you look at Boston College, you've got Will Smith, who's been putting up crazy numbers. I mean, then forgive me, I think also Gabe Perol is on Boston College. And Ryan Leonard, I think he's somewhere out east too. I want to say like Boston College as well. Could be
it's
wrong.
It's one of those
Eastern
two.
School for yep. sure. But just remember when we talked about the NHL draft last year and how I said that first round class was going to be iconic. And now look at the top draft picks, a lot of them in this Frozen Four this year. So honestly, when all is said and done at the end of the day, not surprised.
Big Ten, Michigan representing as well. You had mentioned
a little surprised by Michigan.
I think
slightly.
A lot of people were coming out. Like, I think, because as you'd mentioned, I think we talked about that maybe 2 weeks ago, right? It's like, is Michigan what they were, you know, a couple years ago? And you said it was kind of definitely a down year. Michigan State should have been the representation, probably, if you were to choose, right? Or even Wisconsin, I think, kind of had an off year. Going back to Will Smith, though, Jack Eichel, Will Smith is his pick for the Hobie Baker. He was very behind that. So that was kind of exciting.
Well, I mean, look at the numbers he's put up. The kid's been ridiculous. But then, I mean, it's tough because Macklin Celebrini's been the name. Mm-hmm. Again, none of this confirmed. It's just talk right now. But it's, yeah, just it's going to be a really good race for that award as well.
Yep, Kirsten will be on site for that Hobie Baker Award winner next Friday. Not this coming Friday, but the following Friday. Love to see it because, again, the Frozen Four here in St. Paul. Just a reminder of just how fun college hockey is. I've been so passionate. Yes, I'm.
I love college hockey.
I'm so much more passionate, yes, when the Gophers are in it. But as I think it was maybe last year or 2 years ago when we had talked about it with Dan Myers, who's obviously a big Minnesota State guy, that's what I grew up with, right? Like, college hockey was all I had for the most part because the Wild didn't come around until I was quite a bit older. So college hockey was it. Michigan had a little bit of fun singing Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield in their post-game locker room. I mean, it's just a reminder, they're just kids out there having a good time. I need more content like that, though, from college teams. A little behind-the-scenes Instagram lives in the post-game locker room.
Yeah, no, that's one of the better parts of college, too, is I feel I've never really seen an NHL locker room after a win. I've heard about Dallas and their post-game celebrations. With a song that cannot be named. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But college, yeah, those guys just have a good time.
They're just kids playing the game that they love. St. Louis had a bunch of beers in their room the game last weekend. So it took forever for me to get in there. So every now and then the teams have a good time. Or when the dads are in town, usually there's a rip-roaring good time if it's a dad's trip and they come through the NHL locker rooms. But yeah, I also heard the NCAA is a little bit frugal on allowing access to college rooms nowadays post-game.
I did not know that.
I saw it come across my timeline. I haven't divulged too much into it, but it sounds like they're closing a lot of practices. And I mean, there's a balance, right? Because again, they are kids and there's such a high level of criticism of NCAA athletes as it pertains to the professional world. However, I think closing off access stymies growth a little bit too. Like, you're not getting the exposure that you want for the sport as well. I mean, people that cover college hockey night in and night out know what they're doing. I mean, they're very good at what they do, and I think you want to allow them that access just to share those stories because there's some really, really cool ones in a college hockey atmosphere.
For sure. Yeah, I guess I didn't really know that. I understand both sides of it. Just, yeah, interesting.
Interesting, right? I know. Same. Look it up. Googs it. I think I'm going to have to Googs more myself. Googs it. Check it.
I don't want to hear that again.
Do we not abbreviate, shorten everything these days? Googs?
Not. It's just Google. It's two syllables.
Googs. Just Googs it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, your questions. Stay tuned. Hey, guys. Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago, and I have loved it. And you know what? But there's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you. What's up? We're back. Another segment of this week's episode of Bar Down Beauties. We've got your cues with the beauts. Cues with the beauts. Beep, 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 beep. Cues with the beauts. It's It's been a while since I've sang that little jingle. Has that even been in your era that I've done the jingle?
Unfortunately. Okay.
It's what makes us special. It's what makes us unique. Excuse the beats. Excuse the beats. All right, let's jump right in. I'm going to start with our friend Adam C., who has... I have terrible eyesight. And I just saw a text come through, and I swear to God, and I don't know why it would never say this because I don't have his number. I thought it said Kirill Kaprizov. And I just absolutely had a moment. And again, I don't have his direct contact information, and he certainly does not have mine. Not enough for me to have it. It wasn't Kirill, guys. But that's why I had to just had a quick wow. That would have been something. An exclusive.
Wow.
But it wasn't. I know. We'll have to get on that. Our good friend Adam C., who's always chiming in with some great conversational topics and points. He's got a bunch. He said, so, between the Gophers losing in the playoffs, it has been a year for Minnesota sports. The Wild had their sudden front office departures among controversial extensions. The Twins managed an actual postseason victory only for payroll to get cut. The Loons didn't officially have a head coach to start the season. The Whitecaps were bought up and dissolved, and now the Timberwolves Lynx are in an ownership dispute. I don't really follow football, but assume the Vikings are the same as ever. My question, do you believe in the Minnesota sports curse? Kirsten, you're first.
To an extent, but I feel like we're leaving out two big components in that. One, the Twins broke their postseason curse or drought, however you want to call it. What was it, like 18, 19 years without winning a first round playoff game or just winning a playoff game? Mm-hmm. We did that. We broke that last year. That's done. And then when you look at the Wolves, we're number one in the West, baby. We're sitting pretty. So ownership issues aside, like, Glenn Taylor can't own the team forever. Like, that dispute's going to come to an end at some point. I don't know when, but it's going to. Probably when the Wolves start losing again. And he's like, ooh, actually, yeah, this team's bad again. I no longer want them. So I believe in the Minnesota sports curse to an extent because we've been down bad. But I feel like we've seen glimmers of hope recently. So... I don't know. The curse might be being lifted. Maybe we've done our time.
I don't know. It's tough. Who owns the Chiefs? Slapshot? No? Okay. That's all I kept thinking. It's a movie you need to see. We need to have and get your reaction from it. Who owns the Chiefs? Who owns the Wolves? I don't think it's a curse as much as it is just dramatics. There's always an element of drama. Like, you're watching this reality TV show unfold, and there's always something you're like, well, of course that's going to happen, or of course, because you can't just have, like, a nice, regular, clean season across the board for sports. Always one team that's got to be a little chaotic, a little unhinged. And unfortunately, in Minnesota, it seems to be multiple teams go through that. I mean, you look at the Twins.
If we need a host for that reality show, I volunteer.
Can we do it together?
You can be the correspondent. I want to host.
Sounds a little
You can
weird,
be like the reporter.
Fine.
You can be doing the interviews.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I can get behind that. I'll ask
the
questions. And
then I want to bring the drama with my narration and everything.
Yeah. I like this. This is good. We have to come up with the title for it.
Yeah.
Not so Winnesota.
We have time to work on it.
We're taking your suggestions now. I think there's potential here. NBC, ESPN, give us a call. We're ready. HBO. Seems like an HBO reality show because I want cursing.
Ooh, yeah. And everyone knows I've got the mouth of a sailor.
Yeah, we need the authenticity. You're in sports. But no, I mean, the Twins open it up and Royce Lewis hits a home run and yay, it's going to be an amazing year for him. And then he gets hurt. Now, it's just, it's always something. I feel the Wild.
Baseball's a long season, though, for sure, sitting for 1 month. So the month of April, then being reevaluated. Baseball's a marathon, not a sprint.
But it's still kind of funny. Like, it's still,
it is
like,
funny. It's just bad luck.
I don't know
what it is.
It's sad funny. Like, it's not funny, but it's just like, yep, there it is. Like,
his season's not over. He'll be back.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's just...
I get what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying?
I'm trying to be the voice of reason.
Because people were starting their houses on fire. They were not happy with that outcome. But he seemed fine and jovial post-game. And yeah, as you'd mentioned, it's only supposed to be about a month, 4 weeks. So there's that. Yeah, I'm going to call it the Minnesota dramatics, not necessarily the curse. There is definitely a feeling of unluckiness having been a Minnesota sports fan since birth, but we'll see. Next question from Adam C. How do you like eggs since apparently scrambled with ketchup is a no-go? It's funny because Kirsten and I both reacted to this in last week's episode with Joe O'Donnell, Minnesota Wild play-by-play, in case you missed it. He stole Kirill Kaprizov's eggs, which was the first abomination. And then he had talked about adding ketchup to eggs. Now, I probably reacted too aggressively because that is normal. I forgot my mom constantly puts ketchup on her eggs, and I do see it more often.
It shouldn't be normal. Use salsa like an adult.
This is true. Like, or just, yeah, just cheese and salsa or hot sauce. Like, ketchup just does feel a little amateur.
A little bit. But, Adam C., I'm so glad you asked because I make eggs every single morning. First, I buy the pasture-raised eggs. They have to be pasture-raised eggs. That's the brand that I buy. And then I add in cut-up bell peppers, the whole variety. You get the yellow, the green, the red. And then I have to use the taco blend cheese on them. Mix that in. You mix it in when the eggs are still a little bit runny, so it really absorbs with the egg. And then I cook that with sourdough. Now, if I'm feeling fancy, a little bit of salsa is never a bad idea. If you add in onions and spinach too, ooh, just even better.
Are we wrapping this? No, you said in sourdough?
Like, yeah, on a toast? Sourdough. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I can get behind that. I'm more simple. I just do eggs, cheese, and some hot sauce, like some Cholula.
We gotta change that up a little bit. You gotta add something in.
But like when time calls, like when I have, like yesterday I hosted Easter brunch and I had the tortillas, you could do a full on burrito. I had the bacon, you crumble up a little bacon in there, you get some salsa, get some sour cream, whatever you need to do. I've also done, I'm very good at making breakfast pizza, which is one of my favorites. That's the other best way to eat eggs is breakfast pizza.
Sour cream on eggs sounds criminal to me.
It was the Mexican sour cream, so it's a little different. It's more like the stuff you get at Chipotle, so it's a little runny. Mm. But the sauce I have is so spicy that I just needed to chill it out a little bit. It's not bad. Mm. But I feel like ketchup on eggs, and correct me if I'm wrong, feels like a Midwest thing.
Agreed.
And it's not
salsa. Grow up.
It's not as criminal
Grow
as like
up,
putting
Joe O'Donnell, you salsa.
It's not as criminal as putting ketchup on steak, which I have seen and I wanted to scream.
I bet, like, Joe puts ketchup on his steak.
I wish I never saw it.
I'm gunning for Joe right now.
I wish I never saw this person not only order their steak well done, but asked for ketchup. I was like, did you want a hamburger? I feel like you meant to order a hamburger.
Don't get me started.
It happened 8 years ago and I still haven't forgotten the anger I felt.
That's disrespectful to the animal.
So terrible. Just awful. So, moving on. Which of the recent Wild prospects signed are you most excited for?
Height.
Yes.
1000%. I'm very excited to see what he does. I think there's been a lot of hype surrounding him since he was selected by Minnesota. I'm very excited to see what he can offer.
Yeah, and again, a lot of these contract signings happening for entry-level deals that start next year. Jack Pert signed his. Minnesota forward Riley Height signed his. That will start next year as well. But I agree, Riley Height is the one, I think, that everybody has higher expectations on, kind of similar to Murat Kuznetsov, who, again, we'll get to in just a moment. 65 games for Prince George in the WHL. He had 114 points, 10 power play goals, 36 power play assists. So get a little help on that second power play unit minimally. He was selected in the second round, 64th overall last year by Minnesota. A lot of upside to him and his game. I believe I did a feature on him last year from development camp. So go find that if you'd like. But certainly one of the more exciting ones. And Jack Pert, the hometown kid, you get excited for his potential. But I think Riley Height's the one that's going to be fighting for a spot come training camp for sure. Any bandwagons you're hopping on for the playoffs, since we probably won't have a home team in the race? Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver are the three Western teams to have clinched, by the way, for the record. And then out East, you have Boston, Florida, New York, and Carolina clinching.
Well, this team has not clinched, but it's no bandwagon for me because I'm going with Nashville, baby. That's who I will be rooting for. Should I, like, take everyone on a field trip quick since I'm at my mom's house to just, like, show you something?
Kind of. I mean, okay. Now that you've offered it,
well,
this could go really
laptop,
well or really bad.
I don't
bad.
Have my microphone because based on a very personal situation that went on the other day, my head was just all over the place. Didn't come prepared. So I'm mobile today. So I have the opportunity to show you guys this. This has been here since high school, and my mom has yelled at me to take it down, and it just hasn't left, but like right there in my basement.
Look at that.
So no bandwagon here, just loyal. I mean, Minnesota, yeah, I keep it, you know, they're rivals. So I'm...
Yeah.
But yeah.
We'll survive. Yeah. I like it. This was the tour with Kirsten. We should do more of these
of
things.
Of my mom's house.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. No. I'm going to go with, this is also, should be of no surprise because they are my Stanley Cup champs as I picked them this year. I've got my, there's my tour. There's my Messier jersey because I'm picking the New York Rangers. I love everything about New York. The Rangers, that is. I think it's their time. I think it's due. Let's see the cup on Broadway. I don't hate it. Carolina, though, is
Peter LaViolette.
Love me some Peter LaViolette. They've got Blake Wheeler out there, so the cup will come back. I always do. I always take a peek at which Minnesotans have the opportunity to bring that cup bomb back here to Minnesota. So they've got that representation covered. I dig New York. Although Carolina's really is always making a push. I've liked them the past few years, but then I always get disappointed by them, so I've kind of reserved, but I love me some Rod the Bod. And
Rod the Bod.
Rod the Bod, he's the best.
It's not the first time I've heard that. He is a very fit man.
Yes.
But yeah, Carolina needs to get over the hump. I've also been rooting for them as my Eastern Conference team for years. Really trying to make a push after acquiring Getzel. So.
Yeah.
And I just think called that's... him, I forgot the N, Getzel.
You said Getzel, and I was very. Yeah,
Getzel.
Concerned.
I haven't had coffee today, and I corrected myself right away.
You did. You caught Getzel. It. I wasn't going to call you out on it. I was just like, maybe nobody will catch it.
Out.
You did. You did. So that's who we're going to pick. Let me know who you guys are picking. I would be super curious to hear that. One more from Adam C. before we've got a couple others. Does it get easier covering a team when the season is effectively over, or does it become a drag?
I know. I'm just kind of getting sad knowing like each game is closer to my last.
Yeah.
And then like, don't get me wrong. The break after a long hockey season is so needed, and I'm so excited to just have some time to, well, when the weather warms up, weather permitting, go to the lake on my little paddleboard and just relax,
yes.
Nowhere to be. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I need to find another job to fill my time in the summer. So that's a little, like, don't know my off-season plans yet, but yeah, and then it's just like, it's like the last day of school. It's like, when am I going to see my friends again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about covering a winter sport, so your off season is the summer because there's far worse things to do. But I'm with you. Like, there's a couple weeks where it's nice. You just kind of recatch your breath, you know, hang out with the kids, do all that. And then I get bored, and then I get kind of stressed and panic because then, honestly, like, my stories for NHL.com don't start coming back until, like, mid-June. So there's that off time, which is nice. But when you're go, go, go all the time during the season, you kind of – don't know what to do with all the time on your hands. Like, you just kind of sit there. You're right, paddleboarding. I will be back at Loggers Golf Course this summer as well. So I'll hopefully pick up some more days there, getting some money that way. But yeah, it's a bittersweet situation. Covering the team when the season's done can be hard because you can sense the hostility. Like, in that locker room, it's not that it's always, like, super fun to go in there and hang out. Like, they're competitive people, but when it's over, it just has a different vibe to it, which isn't always great.
God, that's why I'm so happy I don't have to be in there sometimes.
Yeah, like, it's usually when it's one of those nights where I have a sense it's going to be weird. Like Saturday, I went Vegas. I was like, I'll take the Vegas Golden Knights room. They'll be a little bit chipperer, if you will. So that's how that goes. A couple more questions here before we wrap up this week's episode from Jason J, what do you hope we do in the offseason to make this team better?
Oh, I'm running my mind through everything right now to see what we can do. Because I've been critical in the past, I'm going to just take this stance right away because I know where a lot of people's heads are at. John Merrill, I'm going to give him his flowers. I had somebody come up to me the other night and asked me, they're like, what have you thought about the way John Merrill's played tonight? And I literally told him, I said, I think since the trade deadline, he's played a hell of a lot better and turned his game around. So I know a lot of people are like, when can we get rid of him? Why have we not gotten rid of him? He's literally one of the least of my worries at this moment in time. I think he's been a lot better, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, get rid of him. So I'm just making that out for everybody. He's turned it around. And if you look at his game and say otherwise, take a look again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me, assess more of your defensemen. Like, I know that's kind of critical just to what I just said, but I think there are, I think just the defensive unit as a whole, take a look at it. Cause even to start the year, it was a major concern, but also there's still some gaps there. I don't know entirely how to fix it. I don't know who you call up to be like, hey, let's fill in here. But just, I think that needs to be assessed a little bit more because it's been a little bit of a concern. It's still not as strong as it could be. The other one that I would have is goaltending. Get that situation squared away and see what we're going to be doing next year, for one. And then we need to assess some of our forwards as well.
Final question was coming from Rob G. Opinions on Kuzi after 7 games. I will just say I've liked it. I thought in particular the game against Vegas, he played really well. He still is looking for his first goal. He's -2, but in general, I think he's been given some really good opportunity. 13 minutes has been kind of the average for him, which I think is just about right. He's been put into some good situations. I like it. Are you a Who's Nadina stan, Kirsten, so far? I mean, through 7 games, it's not been bad. It's been fine, I think.
Yeah. For me, sorry, now I can't talk. It's been harder to actually get to watch him with the majority of the games that we have played. It's been at home and I've been working, so I haven't been able to like key in and really see what he's been able to do. But I think he's been quiet in the way where I haven't noticed his mistakes if he's had them. Mm-hmm. So, and that's been a big takeaway. And I mean, transitioning his game to the NHL, it's going to take some time, especially fitting into the Wild. He's still learning everything. But so far, I think he's done a good job. I'm impressed with him, and I'm excited to see what else he can do.
Shout out to James from Offside Hockey, covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, now proud owners of Connor Dewar, who has 2 points through 10 games and is 8 penalty minutes. He asked if Connor Dewar will be effective in the playoffs for the Leafs. Does it matter if you lose in the first round anyway?
Ooh.
Sorry. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Dewey will be just fine. Dewey 2 will do just fine for you guys in the playoffs. Not that you need him when you have Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and even Bertuzzi doing his thing. God, I wish I had like a talented team, but they'd still lose in the first round. Just what happens? I don't feel bad. We're Minnesota Wild fans. I don't feel bad chirping another team that has had more success in general.
True. I don't know. We'll see. I am not convinced until they do the thing, so...
They had to do the thing. They should be able to do the thing again with the players we just mentioned. That's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for all the questions, engagement, interaction. Big week ahead for your Minnesota Wild, who has Ottawa on Tuesday, Colorado Thursday, Winnipeg Saturday. We gave our predictions and previews in last week's episode. I don't think they were very good. I think we're getting 1 win this week against Ottawa. Is that what we said? I think I said 2, or maybe an overtime loss. I can't remember. But as always, again, thank you to Talk North, SodaStick, Grainbelt, Jim Beam, Royal Credit Union, and Olivia for their support. And to all of you guys, don't forget to rate, subscribe, share, like, love, all of that stuff. And we'll catch you next week. Bye. Near, 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 near.